sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Heard about 2012. Is this going to be a year of gloom, or can you make it the beginning of the best life has to offer? Welcome to Create Your Best Life Ever with your host, Allison J.K. Get ready to take some notes and sit back and receive some energy healing as Allison and her guests bring you the tools you need to create a welcome change. Now, here is Allison J.K.
Hi, happy Friday. Welcome. Thanks for joining in, whether it's now live, hello, or it's in recorded land. The healings and clearings that are going to be on this hour are always there, present space. The world of energy healing supersedes that or transcends that. It's a construct of the linear mind to have stuff organized in A, B, C, D fashion so we can make sense out of living on the physical plane. But when we go into the world of consciousness, it transcends that left brain, rational, cognitive mind, and it gets us into a land where it's consciousness, and so time and space matter. It's kind of blown up in the world of science, actually, from Newton physics to quantum physics. So we're not talking about that today, though. I'm getting a little sidetracked. I've had a heck of a week, and I know from what I hear out there from other healers and other practitioners and other folk working with consciousness and people and my clients, there's been a lot of shakeup. Some of that was the meteor shower this past weekend. And I know that what I have been seeing and sensing in my client base in the last 2 weeks mostly has been beauty and movement and change, but also people coming up against their resistance to where they're saying no and to where they're not allowing the bigger version of ourselves to say yes for ourselves. Then also comes in with food choices. That's not the way we're talking about or approaching the food choices today, though. A bunch of shows back, I talked about food addiction, food cravings in the chakra system. And that is the show you'd want to refer to for food cravings and food choices and from the chakra system perspective, why we go for certain food cravings. Today, instead, it's eating to empower us, eating to lighten up. And we're living in a times right now, and what I just was talking about is a time in human history where, as you've heard from many other shows, including Jacqueline Joy last week, where old dense systems based on Newtonian physics are breaking down. Density in each of us is breaking down. Where our issues are is breaking down. And for some reason, there's a natural law, there's a metaphysical law that talks about light. And when light gets shown in a dark room, what happens? The light fills the room, right? In a dark room where there is no light, what fills the room? Right, darkness. So, in the spectrum of colors, light is including all the colors. Dark is without any of the colors. The black is without any of the other colors. And for some reason,
as we lighten up, whether it's each of us individually, it catalyzes some of the darkness in us as we shine the light into our more shadow parts of our behaviors. And it's happening collectively on the planet right now as more and more of us say yes to living our lives based on what makes us tingle, what makes us shiver, what makes us have the goosebumps, what makes us just ebullient, elated, joyous. Not to say that we expect to live life every moment in that space, but living life instead of from a judgment and a conclusion that we're supposed to do this work, make this money, pay these bills, live in this house, raise these kids, pay these levels of tuition at these kinds of schools, buy this kind of technology, wear these kinds of clothes, drive this kind of car, because of how we judge ourselves to fit in or not in certain levels of society. All of that structure in form is what is breaking down right now on our planet. And everything and anything that brings up, be willing to destroy and uncreate it all. Say yes. Time's a godzillion, right, wrong, good, bad, podpoc, all nine shorts, boys, and beyonds. And so there's another space that we can make choice from, and that's one of freedom and liberation and not being so boxed in with our minds, judgments, and conclusions in the small ego mind expecting things to be done a certain way, and when they're not done a certain way, when the unknown or something new comes up, it gets more controlling because it wants to control the unknown so that it looks familiar, because that's its function. That's what it's programmed to do. And so Jacqueline Joy last week talked about a really soft approach to the little child cognitive mind and also the ego mind that just wants to control and gets afraid when the unknown comes up. And when we take a step out, when we reach for that new person that makes us feel differently, that's a new type of person we're in relationship with, if we're serial monogamists and dating, or if we go for that new career that is using that different quality in us that's like not been really brought out to the public before, but just a hobby of ours or just a childhood enjoyment, but now we're starting to use that as a way for economic gains in our life. If we're going for a new body image, physical image, if we're wanting to release a disease, come out of disease and really let go of a brain tumor, which the energy healing work I've done in the past has helped to do amongst many other illnesses and diseases and diagnoses. Anywhere where we're stepping out to something new, that little ego mind, it wants familiarity. It wants comfort. And so we might stick back into even comfort foods as a comfort behavior. We might check out and spend more time with our apps or our TV or Facebook or the old friends who we can complain with instead of that one or two people we've met who are really on and alive and awake, because it challenged us too much. We want to go back into the somewhat dead zone of comfort and familiarity. There's so much of that going on. And part of where we can help ourselves is with the food choices that we make. So there's, I've found from the 10 years living in Asia, there's this real concept that just is not at the cultural level here. And it's starting. Next week I have on John Robbins, who I refer to as the daddy of this entire food matters, food is medicine movement in America. All of the movies that have come out, Food Inc., Food Matters, Supersize Me, there's a whole slew of them. And another new one just came out this week. I posted it on my Facebook page, a clip of it about GMOs and the effects of GMOs in our food. All of this awareness of what the food industry, and that it even being labeled as a food industry instead of our farmers, happened as a result of John Robbins' work with Diet for New America. He's the son, and he's coming on again next week. He's the son of Baskin and Robbins ice cream, of the Robbins end of Baskin and Robbins. And rather than inherit the entire empire, what he did was go out and look at dairy farms and see how milk was produced and cream was produced to then make the ice cream of his family's fortune, and didn't like what he saw to the point that he started to go to chicken farms and beef farms and pork farms and communicated in his book, Diet for New America, what was in our meat supply and how the business of agriculture had taken over at that point and has completely taken over by now. This is in the late 80s, early 90s, he wrote and released Diet for New America. And it's what caused me to become a vegetarian. It's what caused David Wolf to become a vegetarian. In fact, when I went to David Wolf and met him at the Longevity Now conference in 2010, I was there volunteering, working the conference, and unbeknownst to me when I signed up to volunteer for it, John Robbins was the keynote speaker. And becoming a vegetarian is a very personal, huge choice. And I'm not a full-on vegetarian anymore, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. And he spoke on the day of my birthday, actually, and I found it so perfect and such a gift. But he is responsible for exposing in the most preliminary days and preliminary levels what the food industry puts into our food. So the more, I was walking into the fitness center I work out at last night and looked at a guy on the treadmill and was just, I mean, he's lean, he's tall, I'd say he was probably 10 to 6 feet. And had estrogen boobs, lean. He wasn't obese, so that you would think, okay, guys for that size, obese meaning, or overweight, normally have the male man boobs. But this guy was tall and pretty lean and on the treadmill, and he still had breasts, male boobs. The levels of estrogen that are in our food supply because of the growth hormones and the antibiotics and the other hormones that they pump into the meat is shifting our chemical balance inside of us. So I know for me, when I read that, I knew instinctively, intuitively, resoundedly in every cell of my being, I absolutely will not eat this food. It is not meant to be in my body. It will not do me good. It will not bring me health. No. And I never ate red meat again. The first couple of years of becoming a vegetarian, I dabbled still in eating buffalo chicken wings because I loved them so much. I would have them like once or twice a year. And after a couple of years of getting, as I said in this show with David Wolf back in June, getting lighter and lighter with my continued years of meditation and yoga and energy healing, I was turning, I couldn't even do chicken anymore. I couldn't do any mammals. So it was pretty early on in my vegetarian days that I let go of the buffalo chicken wings too. I attempted to become vegan. And I realized that my body needs protein. I've been a bodybuilder on and off my whole life since, not high school, but since college. I took a class, semester-long class in weight training, as I did also another class earlier than the weight training one in yoga. So I've always had that balance going in the body conditioning world and was conditioned in the weight training world of the need for protein, the need for feeding the muscles and the need for having a certain level of protein. And this is back in the days before Vega came out. This is back in the days before Sun Food Warrior came out with their vegetarian proteins. This is back in the way before all of this. And there was no merger between sports supplements and the health food store. They were very distinct separate parts. And I've had my own path with learning my body needs in order to honor how I desire to feel, and eventually I realized that eggs every once in a while, it was a big butterfly again out my window, were okay for me, and light fish, not the thicker, heavier fish, but lighter fish was good for me too. I don't eat any grains. I cut grains years ago. And I eat a heck of a lot of superfoods and a heck of a lot of greens. I love the life force in greens. I love the power that I know I'm getting from chlorella. When our trees drop their leaves in the Northeast and they're orange and red and yellow, they've lost their green. What makes them green is the chlorophyll in the leaf. The chlorophyll uses the sun to grow green. All green grows. Everything green growing is because of chlorophyll. When I was 19 and I was a sophomore at UMass Amherst, I learned about spirulina, and ever since then I've been on it. I was like, oh my God, if I can have the source that makes all plant life grow in me, Hell yeah. And I've always been an avid sunbather, sun worshiper, not using the chemical sunblocks ever, using natural sunblocks, getting that vitamin D and my third chakra fed by the sun. And I almost feel like I'm growing my life force when I'm out there doing that. And then in fact, later on, science has come out and said that science from the more progressive areas. Dr. Mercola talks about that on mercola.com. There's been a lot of doctors coming out in the last 2 to 3 years about we were wrong going in the sun, using chemical sunblocks. So there's a way to feel light. There's a way to get around some of the heaviness that's breaking up. There's a way to help yourself make your body and mind more conducive to wanting to choose the lighter choices for yourself, to wanting to do good for yourself, to working with the staleness and the stagnancy and the complacency that the ego mind and its resistance to change can tempt us with. Funny though, Allison, isn't it? Because what you might be saying now is, how am I going to make those food choices to get me lighter if I'm not feeling lighter? It's a catchy little thing. I found that my body can't go near. I'm exaggerating it in a way, but I'm trying to make a point. Any of the boxed food, meaning processed, packaged, shelved food in a typical supermarket, I don't even go in those aisles. I go right to the produce section, and for the pineapple, I'll buy inorganic, and then I'll go to the organic section of the major supermarket. I'll go to buy their natural Hawaiian tanning oil and their organic lemon for my lemon water, and their all-natural paper towel, recycled paper towels, and paper towels, toilet paper, and I leave. I get all my products either, they're all natural. My house clean is natural, my skincare, my hair care, it's all natural. And I get it from a different source than even health food stores. I'm not going to go into that. But eventually, you're going to see on my radio show page here, access to places where you can get these all-natural products to get chemicals out of your system completely and entirely. Working with that toxic load concept of how the toxicity has been so increased, as EPA estimates 70,000, not that we want to totally rely on the EPA for our statistics for what's happened to the environment, because it's a governmental body, so it has some links and ties in there at this point that may make it a little bit less unbiased than an independent organization. But the estimate of the tracking of the registered chemicals is that there's been an increase of about 70,000 chemicals into our environment over the last 20 years. So I'm not dooming and glooming here, guys. The way to deal with that is to not eat the foods and expose ourselves to the chemicals as little as possible, and eat foods that are going to substantiate our feeling good and our calling the power of what's grown that food item, putting it into our body, encapsulating the power that grew that food into our body, and it becoming our power. And we don't typically connect that concept in our country. We're used to meat and potatoes, and according to old food comment, combining thoughts like in the Taoist Chinese culture, meat and potatoes are a no-no, and they produce gas. Yeah. So our most basic staple back in the olden days that we're kind of coming out of now, the meat and potatoes concept that you still get when you go to a mainstream restaurant, is what produces gas. Those particular two foods, starches and proteins, do not combine well together and in fact produce gas. So you sit around a table with your family and loved ones and they're all burping and indigestion and popping tums. It's because they've combined the wrong food. So we're going to talk about some of these superheroes and happy foods that we can take in and help us lighten up. And then if we find ourselves spacey too, there's certain foods we can eat if we need grounding. And then we'll do some clearings to deal with the nature of the energy around us now. Okay, cheers. Take a break.
The Voice America 7th Wave Channel. We hear about so many techniques for healing, from crystal healing to animal communication and plant and flower essences. These alternative healing methods are being continually studied and can guide us through all aspects of our lives, from relationships to connections and communication. In her program, Adventures in Alternative Healing, host Linda Thomas seeks to explore these modalities through her guest experts and experiences. Tune in every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America 7th Wave channel. Within each of us is an inexhaustible source of wisdom aligned with the natural world, with the potential to connect us to the sacred dimensions of life and to guide us to our own highest potential. This source of wisdom is known as self, soul, and consciousness. Every week, host Ray Nobrega guides us on an exploration of our relationship with the natural world through the lens of the shamanic arts. Restoring and deepening our connection with the natural world ignites the spirit within us. Tune in to Self, Soul, and Consciousness, Thursdays at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America 7th Wave channel.
Do you ever stop and wonder if there's more to life than what you are experiencing? Do you feel like you deserve to live that life? Of course you should. Tune in to Shining Bright with your host, Regina Sisko. Through Regina's life experiences and her guest experts, you can put yourself on the path to holistic self-discovery and the life that you were born to lead. Shining Bright with Regina Sisko is broadcast live every Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America 7th Wave channel.
The Voice America 7th Wave channel. Be extraordinary. Be the change.
Listening to Create Your Best Life Ever with Allison J.K. We would love to hear from you today. Please call into the program at 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Or send an email to AllisonJKBliss@gmail.com. Now, back to Create Your Best Life Ever. What else is possible?
Hi there. Okay, so let's go ahead and talk about the Ayurvedic world from India. There is a way to look at ourselves. If we're really worried easily, we easily get nervous, even think a little bit paranoid, anxious, that's one dosha. Doshas are the three ways of classifying the human based on physical, mental, and emotional ways of being. Skin, is it typically dry? Is it oily? Body size, is it small, medium, large? Gain weight easily, lose weight easily? Don't do either of those. Tend to be underweight, tend to be overweight. Bones, brittle, excessive worry, anxious. That's the first dosha, excessive worry and anxious mentally. The second dosha is when they get out of balance. Instead of being anxious and worried, it's fiery and getting angry easier than the first one, who goes into anxiety and paranoia and worry. That's Pitta, the second one. The first one is Vata. The third one's Kapha. And this isn't meant to educate you fully on the doshas. If you want a dosha consult with me, you can go to my website and see that. My website's at the bottom right on this page. I offer this service. I work with Rasayanas. And gradually we'll be getting up on this page a link where you can go and select Rasayanas. Those are considered tonics for longevity out of the Ayurvedic world. I take them every day. They're in a paste of ghee and honey, and they're yummy. And we'll talk about those in a little bit. But if you do want to classify your dosha and learn how to eat based on your dosha and learn how to work with your own inherent wiring and way of thinking, in being, that would help you come out of what is in the third one now, the kapha, as laziness, tending towards depression, body style and type of the third one is tending to be overweight, not easily motivated for exercise, has a hard time taking weight off, slow to anger because they're slow in general, but once they get angry, I know one kapha in particular, and it hasn't ended yet, his anger, so... Don't ever anger kapha. A little bit of personal advice from Allison.
Pitta, their body type is medium, and they gain weight easily, take weight off easily. And the first one, the Vata, is a small, petite, wiry, lean body that stays underweight pretty easily. So one of the Nervine tonics, the Ayurvedic system, is Gotu Kola. That's an herb, and that's in an Ayurvedic Rasayana for that first dosha, because they tend to need calming in a way that the second and third one don't. So let's talk about the Ayurvedic concept, backing off for a minute, about eating based on the quality of prana in the food. They call it Rajas, R-A-J-A-S, and that is kind of an Ojas, O-J-A-S. Ojas is this bubbling fountain well source of light and water. You can picture a water fountain that bubbles water up rather than down. And Ojas is like that. It's this bubbling of life force, the swelling up of a good, yummy feeling. And we want to eat foods for that Ojas feeling. And one of the foods that's meant to do that is ghee. They found ghee does this. It's clarified butter. Whenever I present this in our health food stores, this particular workshop, people are always like, what is ghee exactly? Because we kind of know about it, but we kind of don't really know what it is. And all it is clarified butter, which means it's worked a little bit more and it's on the top of the mixture that becomes butter in the process of how dairy becomes, how whatever the substances are working with that actually becomes butter from the dairy. It, the ghee sits at the top, so it's clarified. And you can buy it in health food stores. And I know that in my Rasayanas that I take, they have it in a base of honey and ghee, because ghee increases this good feeling, Ojas. So again, I'm referring to the Rasayanas. And again, if you want to get in touch with me through my website, you can talk to me about an Ayurveda consult. I know that at a health food store, if you bought Chavana Pravash, some health food stores carry it, Chavana Pravash. Another light-feeling food is honey. I want to take a minute at this point to really talk about the idea that we were getting at the end of the last segment about the life force quality in our food. Because that's the concept I'm now going to the Ayurvedic tradition to communicate. And I know that I definitely learned that living in the Chinese culture and even spending as much time as I did within the Thai culture too. The Chinese have this understanding of all food containing medicinal properties. And so like if somebody would get sick, they would go to this stand and get something called grass jelly, and it'd be like a jello, as we would think of it over here. Really yuck taste, but you come to like it, actually. And people would do that when they were starting to get a cold. There's this orange citrus marmalade that typically, I guess the best one in Asia that is known for helping when you get a sore throat is out of Korea. And so you'd go to the health food store and you'd buy this and you'd start to like have it in your tea, or you would just eat it straight. I used to keep a jar in the first couple of years when my immune system was adjusting to Taiwan, in my office desk. And so they have this idea that whatever we put in our mouths is going to help our bodies. We're so far from that in this country. It's unbelievable. It's been a little bit of a shock for my system to come back here and remember, oh yeah, people eat like this, I forgot. That conscious connection of what we put in our mouth, is it going to feed you life? Is it going to help you? Or is it going to work your body? Because if our body isn't busy digesting, which is its primary occupation, our digestive system. It's our primary expenditure of energy. Not if we're endurance athletes, not if we're running a triathlon. No, it doesn't matter. Our primary energy drain is our digestive tract. So if we're running low on energy, or if our energy is sluggish, not necessarily low, but just blah, gray, cloudy, thick, unmotivated, we want to look at two different things. One, our diet. Two, our colon. And I don't mean like get a colonoscopy. I mean we want to look at how much fiber is in our diet to move the stuff out of our colon. And in America, we have this different, I can feel the reaction out there, like, oh my God, is she actually making food suggestions to eat more fiber? How basic is that? And if I hear that one more time, I'm changing the station right now and I'm going to stop listening. I'm not saying eat more fiber only. What I'm saying is when I experience clients on the table and I'm getting to their belly area and I'm working with their chakra system, the upper abdomen is the area where the third chakra is in the solar plexus, right below the bottom ribs. And the consciousnesses that are associated with the third chakra is there is joy, there is self-respect, self-esteem, and how we view our ability to go out into the environment and succeed. Like how we view ourselves, it's almost like I see a big versus sign in a way. Like us out in the environment. Second chakra in the lower abdomen, which is harder to cut and define in the fitness world than the upper abdomen. Upper ab gets cut quicker, sort of the obliques. The lower ab is the last one to get cut. That's actually our power center in the Chinese system of Qigong, the Dan Tian. But in the chakric system, the second chakra is where we deal with our one-on-one relationships with primary authority figures. Power. Do we leak it? Do we give it away to that authority figure? Do we hold our power in check? Do we get off balance easily? Can they push us back, this person? Do we view them as more important and have more power than us? That's one-on-one interactions. Is it a balanced interaction? Is my power expression not aggressive and not introverted, interdirected? Is my power at a balanced, even level of expression? I circulate it inwardly as well as I can bring it out and express it outwardly too in these one-on-one interactions, so that now coming back up to the upper abdomen, when I go out into the environment, that's now me interacting with what is in the second chakra out with people in general. How do I view my power in general? In the environment in general, it's also where in the mind-body connection beyond what the chakra system talks about too, in some ways, is levels of anxiety, levels of nervousness. It seems like that's where our sensors are. In the colon, it seems like we have sensors for others' feelings. In fact, the little bacteria, the good, healthy flora and fauna in the intestinal tract, or bacteria, it has a consciousness. Sorry, I said flora and fauna back to my environmental days there. It's just flora. It has a consciousness to it. It's actually been proven. It's called, in the neuroimmunology field, they talk about this too, in that our immunity is in our gut. Ancient civilizations said this. They said this in Congress in 1905. Somebody came up and said that, and it just got wiped off the records. Because they didn't want to look at it. It seemed too outrageous. This consciousness can be really happy and light, and I can sense it. Like when I'm over somebody's digestive tract, I can feel a sense of deadness, particularly if they're overweight, because fat is dense, and fat, literally fat itself, fat on a body is what traps toxins and holds toxicity more than muscle mass or any other soft tissue in the body system. Fat is where toxins trap. I can feel if somebody's colon has been shut down, like if they're constipated, if they're full of trapped old food in the ridges of the colon, if they've never had a colonic, if they're not having regular movements, if they're only having one movement a day, because, and we don't even talk about this in America. I remember when I came back from a vacation and I was talking to a girlfriend in Taiwan. I had come back from Bali. She had gone to Thailand. And we were talking about colonics, and it was like, okay, so I've gone to a new level with my health now. I'm talking about colonics as post-vacation briefings with friends. But it's a major source of how good and happy our state of mind and state of wellness in our body is that colon, is that gut. And it's related to how, when we pick up sensing others' emotions in the environment and what we then do with it, with that third chakra. Do we turn it inward and say, oh, it's all because of me? Did we learn that power game back when we were developing the relationships one-on-one with the power sources of authority in our early days, like ages 0 to 6? Did we learn we had to turn it inward on ourselves and almost go into like self-attack? You're not good enough, or you can't handle this, or you've never been able to do that. So it's almost like instead of the third chakra spinning outward in this golden yellow that it's meant to, it turns inward and there's like a self-attack. That's separate than just picking up on other people's emotions in the environment. And then if we don't have a healthy digestive tract, if we have a sluggish digestive tract because we don't have enough movements, again, we're supposed to have a healthy tract is supposed to do 3 bowel movements a day. There's even books like I've seen in colonicists' offices of what, how to identify kaka looks like. What it's telling you. Like if it's this shape, that means your colon's healthy. If it's this shape, that means you need more fiber. If it's this color, that means you need less of this. So getting information from our dung. If you go to a zoo and you look at an animal who is a meat eater, a carnivore, and you go to a zoo and you look at an animal who is an herbivore, and you get them opening their mouths, roaring or yawning, and you get a whiff of their breath, the really hard breath comes from the carnivore, the carnivorous animal, the one who eats meat. The sweet, pungent breath comes from the one who eats plants. Protein breaks down into acidicness. What that digestive fire is heat. And acid and heat in the Ayurvedic system are considered the same thing. So there is a lot going on with the relationship between how we feel mentally, our state of well-being throughout our body, our expression of ourselves emotionally, if we're emotionally balanced, and our state of health and well-being overall and vitality based on what we're eating. If we're too acidic, then we're going to get stuff stuck in our joints. We're more prone to having arthritis. We're more prone to having almost, if not every single disease that we are calling chronic diseases in America or in the Western countries at this point. John Robbins has a couple of interviews with T. Colin Campbell, who wrote The Protein Myth. And he is somebody out of Cornell University who has done a lot of research. A nutrition was on the original board for the first food pyramid for the United States government. He was the only non-beef or dairy industry person, and eventually he was made to kind of ridiculed off the panel because his ideas were not aligned with supporting the beef and dairy industry. It's documented. I'm not being radical. It's documented in his book, The China Study, that who were the original founders of the food pyramid of beef and dairy industry. He found in his China study that if we go above the 12% threshold of protein, then all these hosts of other chronic diseases come into play. So we want to cool our system down from acidicness. We want to cool our system down from being so overworked from the digestive fire. We want to have a colon that can bring the highest level of vital life force food into our body, take the nutrients from it, the power from it, and eliminate the rest. We want to eat to live. With a little bit of living to eat in there too.
But it, really, I know I sound like I'm lecturing. I feel like I'm in lecture mode. And it's not one of my favorite places to be, but the disconnect in our society about how central. It's the same level of you feel the way you feel partially because of who you're in relationship with, who you're living with, who's in your household. What are your kids doing? What is your husband doing? What is your wife doing? How do they act? How do they behave? What is the sound of the TV? Is there always a TV on? That's your environment. What does it do for you? How does it make you feel? Do you leave the house grateful to leave the house and then grateful for silence? It's the same thing. Food is the most central choice we can make. When we come back, we'll talk about some of the foods that can help.
This is the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. The Mayan calendar tells us that we will be entering into a 260-day opportunity for us to engage in conscious co-creation with Great Spirit. How will we prepare ourselves for this exciting and unprecedented time in Earth's history? Peter Tung has dedicated over 20 years of his life's work to exploring that which is beyond understanding. Peter will help increase your awareness and education on this enlightening transformation in consciousness. Awakening to Conscious Co-Creation airs live Wednesdays at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on Seventh Wave Network. Be visionary. This is the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
Listening to Create Your Best Life Ever with Allison J.K. We would love to hear from you today. Please call into the program at 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Or send an email to AllisonJKBliss@gmail.com. Now, back to Create Your Best Life Ever. What else is possible?
Hi, welcome back. Okay, so everything and anything that brought up, the last segment brought up, any judgment of yourself, any judgment of me, any yuckiness about your diet, any yuckiness about pooing, any uncomfortable feelings, any lack of motivation to change your diet, any lack of motivation to deal with your eating, any lack of desire to have more life force, any fed upness with the food industry, any anger, rage, contempt for the food industry, for the way food is cultivated in our country, anything and everything and all of that is, are you willing to destroy and uncreate times a godzillion? Yes. Right, wrong, good, bad, pot, poc, all nine, shorts, boys, and beyonds. This can change. It is considered a food revolution right now. To get started, we want to get all chemicals out of our foods. That means as best as possible, eat fresh foods. The longer they have to sit on a shelf, the less alive they are. The more alive your food is, the more alive you'll be. If you feel deadened, if you feel low energy, it's not just because of being on the computer and in the digital world and not being outside, but if you want to feel alive, go outside, get in the sun, eat alive food, be with people who are laughing and alive, and then you'll be alive. And the food is central to that. Goji berries in the province of China are known to the people in this province, the particular one that goji berries come from, are also called wolf berries. So the little tiny red berry, most health food stores now offering them through bulk bins. And then also there's a lot of goji berry juices out there now too. I put them raw, a handful of them, into my smoothie every day. They're known, the people in the province there are known to age more gracefully and have more longevity than those in the other provinces around them. Goji berry is known to be the only food that releases human growth hormone. It's a good energy tonic. Another one that I'd want to suggest, and that's a food in Taiwan, you can see
in the Chinese culture, the trail mixes, instead of them being nuts and seeds like we have here, like cashews and raisins and cut up dried pineapple that's sweetened, sometimes a cut up dried coconut or cut up dried peaches that is sweetened, and then cashews with the walnuts or the almonds or the trail mixes that we're used to. Instead, they have black soybeans, white soybeans, and their soy is non-GMO over there. Then they have goji berries and pumpkin seeds. That's a really familiar trail mix there. I actually still have some left that I've never opened. It's from there. And it's very light, and you don't get this heavy feeling after you eat a handful of it. The maca root from Peru I've talked about before. Maca is incredible for helping women balance their hormones. It's incredible if a woman feels like she's slipping into a little bit of depression, take some maca. If you're in a metabolic syndrome, which most people who are overweight at this point in America, my estimate is that there is some element of metabolic syndrome going on, which means that your chemical balance is all messed up because of the chemical presence in foods. And you've grown the male boobs, and or you're carrying extra fat, you have your hormonal, your endocrine system's off balance. So one of the first things we want to do, and that I do with my clients who come to me with obesity issues, is get them onto maca. It's something that's going to clean out their hormonal system as well as the energy healings and actually treat the individual endocrine glands to help bring it back into balance. The thyroid is actually one of the easiest glands to bring into balance. And that's the endocrine gland associated with the metabolism. So what are some other foods? Maca is a really good pick-me-up. Spirulina is outrageous for cutting sugar cravings, but also for having more light circulate in your system. That's the chlorophyll example I was talking about earlier, the greens that are in the tree, the chlorophyll. Spirulina is what I've been taking since I've been 19, and the highest grade spirulina I use, of the only Western supplement company I use actually, is Health Force Nutritionals and then Sun Food Warrior. And both of those are going to be up as offerings on this website page. If you look at the top, Diamond Alignment's banner is going to stay there. And if you click on it, just as a reminder, there's a special offer that's 50% off. I can help feed your spirit. If you look underneath at the bottom of the page, there's the Join the Food Revolution Now, and that's John and Ocean Robbins. Ocean Robbins is John Robbins' son. There's a product there that is on discount, and it's an offer for I don't know how many hundreds of dollars, but they put together this whole package of a bunch of stuff, MP3, PDF, and ebooks that are talking about the food industry from different angles. Some of the China study stuff from T. Cole and Campbell about what protein does and being overly proteinified, I'm making up words, due to our system, and what acidicness can do to our system, and how the host of chronic diseases in our country right now that are saying doctors typically say are untreatable are in fact diet sourced. So in order to get informed, in order to feel like, yes, you have power, yes, you can be healthy, no, this isn't dismal, yes, there is help for this, you can, what I frequently have said for years now is you can eat your way out of that. Food is medicine. So the food, Join the Food Revolution Now banner at the bottom of the page has a whole host of information for you. It's really, really informative. Really, really informative. I mean, it can shift your view of how our food is produced and help you understand why it just takes your entire view of life in this country into another one. I mean, you just can't be the same after being exposed to any of the information, whether it's from Food Inc. or it's from Food Matters or it's from Diet for New America, John Robbins' original book, or it's Food Revolution. Once we expose ourselves to the information of what actually is in our food supply, there's no going back. And so the whole other end of the spectrum is to eat these high, dense, nutrient-dense, high life force, high vitality containing foods. So another example of that is marine phytoplankton. That's another source somewhat of chlorophyll. It's marine microalgae, actually. So it grows at the bottom of sea, I believe. salt water, I believe. It grows at the bottom. And so it's a bottom feeder. So that means it's able to like filter all the nutrients from the water, as opposed to seafood like shellfish that actually has a lot of bacteria in it. So you want to be careful of that. Like the ancient Hebrews talked about not eating shellfish because it wasn't what now we call kosher. Yogurt is amazing if you eat an unsweetened, non-flavored even. If you can get plain, unsweetened, not with a fruit yogurt. I put cinnamon powder in my yogurt, and it's amazing. It's innocent tasting, and my body craves it because it's the good bacteria. I used to take probiotic supplements. I don't anymore. I know my digestive tract is good and solid. I do take two, if not three, movements a day, and I spend no time on the toilet. Done. Out. Gone. Out of the bathroom. There's no time for reading. There's no work being done in there, as we used to say in college. Wow, you did some work in there. It's very simple and easy, and it's a very, very, very strong system, and I'm really grateful for that. But it's because I'm making the food choices I'm making. When I eat, right, I'm sitting there and eating a bowl of baby greens that are organic and other veggies for my nighttime gig. And I'm not necessarily excited about it. David Wolf's probably better to listen to than me about like how to make food. There's a lot of other people out there who are better than me about how to make vegan and vegetarian food more exciting. I eat to live. So I'm eating the most highly functional foods possible. Pineapple is a good fruit to eat for digestive enzymes. It has a particular enzyme in it that helps digest protein more than other fruits. Red grapes and green grapes, but red grapes in particular, the darker the grape, the better. They have things such as something called red grape therapy in Russia, where people will go on a cleanse of just the red grapes. It's really, 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 really cleansing, especially alkalining an acidic system. So, for example, one of my clients who has acid reflux, she's been incorporating more grapes into her diet, and it's helping. Apples, they have an amazing, the pectin as well as the fiber, eat them with the skin on. There's a whole great host of benefits of the fiber from apples. What else? There's so much to go into. Ginger and garlic together, cook with them as much as possible. Use olive oil, no other oils. I'm still a proponent of olive oil. I don't cook with coconut oil, but I will use coconut oil in my smoothies. We could get into some of the super herbs, like the mushrooms that David's talked about before. I won't go into them because I've talked about them on other shows, and so has David. Go to the Chinese Herb Show my first month with George Lamoureux of Jing Herbs. The Chinese Year of the Dragon is the title of the show, and you can get some information there. Or David Wolf's show. So I'm not going to go into the specific mushrooms. Let's see what else. So ginger and garlic. A good tea out of India for really beautiful life force energy is Tulsi tea, or we also call it holy basil. And I forget, India, what is it? The name of the company that has India in the name of it is a tea company. You get it in the health food store. They make a really good fair trade Tulsi tea. I put that as my base tea in my smoothies every day. Green tea is not a caffeine that's going to spike you in the way coffee does, because green tea has a special polyphenol in it that's actually calming. Green tea is amazingly helpful for the metabolic tract. It's an amazing booster for the metabolism. If you are running acidic, if you have heartburn, if you burp a lot, if you have gas a lot after each meal, then that means your colon needs cleansing. So you could go on a cleanse, or you could just start, for example, eating more red grapes. You could put flax seeds into your diet, more fiber. I'm not going to be, you know, suggesting more fiber as a typical dietary source would suggest. Instead, I'm going around where the typical suggestions are made. So stop combining meat with potatoes or starches with protein, because that's leading to a lot of the gassiness after you eat. if you're bloated and gassy, if you eat more broccoli and cauliflower and cabbage, that's going to help bring some of the gas out of your system. If you want to have more mental clarity, clean your colon. A sluggish mind is a direct result of a sluggish colon. When I say clean your colon, I do mean eat more fiber. Psyllium seeds, I think, are not the way to go because I don't think people drink enough water for them. You can do this. You can do this. You can do this. Just choose one choice differently, one food differently, something that your body's going yes to. And it doesn't have to be strict according to these dietary standards. Just listen to what your body is craving, not the mind, the body. The most alive, vital food is going to make you feel the most alive and vital in these times. Much love. Blessings. Have a great weekend. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you again for tuning in to Create Your Best Life Ever featuring Allison J.K. Please join us again next Friday afternoon at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America 7th Wave channel. Now, enjoy your weekend and start making positive changes today.